happens again. I actually came to the to Salt Lake City last time and spoke in person. It was, I think you said it was 12 years ago or something like that. But anyways, to get to the point, I came into having these experiences. The first one back when I was 12 years old, swimming in a neighbor's pool and with the other 12-year-olds, and we were screwing around and ended up where I got pushed down under the water at the deep end in a kidney shape, a round, smooth bottom. And I realized that I was going to have to breathe in water because I was beyond my capacity, my ability to swim and get to the surface before I needed to take a breath. And the moment that I took the breath of water, I was engulfed. I was face down in the bottom of the pool, and then instantaneously I was engulfed by a white light, and looking up in like a 45-degree angle into a bright light. And then I went through a life review, and I always say it wasn't very long because I was only 12 at the time. So it was just these moments of very surreal experience as a child, eating a fried bologna sandwich when I was like 6 years old at the table, and just enjoying the flavor of the bread and the bologna. And another moment was when I was in the backyard in New York, and it was summertime, and I could see all the insects flying around, and I had my arms out, and I was twirling in a circle, looking up at the sky. And I was probably, I don't know, three or four at that time, and many other really beautiful moments that I had had as a child. And then I went through this tunnel, you could say. It was kind of like Star Trek, you know, getting shot across the galaxy and at light speed. And as I started to slow down, I'm like floating, suspended, but you know, I wasn't like I wasn't afraid or anything like that. But I could notice that the light was literally particles, and they were streaming into me, into my very essence. And as they went into me, they added to me things that were missing. And when I got to a little further in the light, I noticed that there were 12 individuals that I could see as silhouettes, but they were lined up blocking my path that I couldn't go any further. And then out of the center of individual came, and as he got closer, I realized, hey, this is that's Jesus. That's Jesus Christ. And I didn't need to be introduced. I knew who he was, and I'd always known who he was. But the irony is that I didn't go to church, and I didn't have a relationship with God at that time. I mean, I talked to him and stuff as a kid, you know, please help me and things like that. But I didn't read the Bible or anything like that, so I didn't have this personal relationship with him. And he came to me, and very quickly he was like moving very quickly towards me, but he wasn't walking. He was just kind of moving towards me, and he grabbed my left arm, and he said that like you would grab a snake, you know, with purpose and force. And he grabbed me, and then in telepathy he told me, you have to go back, you got work to do. And I couldn't stop staring at him because he was so beautiful. And perfect. And he had these blue eyes that were just piercing. And he was wearing a white robe, long hair. And as I'm mouthing, no, I don't want to go back. I like it here. I'm suddenly back on the side of the pool, laying on my back. And when I'm mouthing no, water's coming out of my mouth. And I open my eyes up and I notice that everyone is standing over me or kneeling by me that was there that day. And they were kind of had all the shock look on their face. And I didn't realize that they had, I'd been down there like 10 minutes before they realized I wasn't fooling around or pretending that something had happened to me. It was like being reborn, coming back into the world. I could feel the sun on my body and the wind rustling against my hairs on my arm. And it was, I suddenly was overtaken by rage where I was just so mad that I had to come back here. And I got up and pushed everybody away from me and ran home. I didn't talk for 3 days because I was trying to figure out what all this meant. And I was so mad that I had to come back to this horrible place because it was so beautiful there and so peaceful. And so it was just serene, just complete, utter love filled me while I was there. And I came back here and I felt like I was being punished and that this was hell. And I decided that, I wasn't going to tell anybody about this because this was in the 70s, around 74 or something like that. I'd have to look at my notes to know the exact year, but I at that time they had mental health hospitals and they put people in there that claimed to have seen Jesus. I was really forthcoming with wanting to tell people, hey, I'd seen Jesus, you know. So a few years went by and my parents took me to a Billy Graham revival in San Diego. And he said, well, all you have to do is believe it. Jesus, you know, died for your sins and he came here. And I'm like, well, this is going to stretch because I know he's real. I met him. So, you know, I became saved. And then they said that you're golden. You can do whatever you want to. So I got introduced to alcohol and some drugs and I became an alcoholic because I realized that when I was drinking and doing drugs, I had some side effects that happened as a result of passing over, and it shut those things off. So I wanted to be shut off from these side effects as much as possible, and not knowing what the impact of these side effects were, I literally could see emotional disturbances in people that were emotionally compromised. And it was very difficult. I became empathic where I could feel people's emotions that were near me. So when I was in a crowd of people, it was very disturbing to me and I didn't know why. And I also had some special desire to work with electronics after this. And that developed later on to where I was in the computer industry. And I was telling Martin earlier that I started to be known as a computer whisperer, where I could diagnose computer systems from complex to minor, you know, home computers. And all I had to do is basically put my hands on the keyboard and I could tell what was wrong with the computer, be it programming or some hardware issues. And so with that, I started drinking and and it was very difficult for me, and I ended up to where I didn't want to live like that anymore, because I had to be drunk all the time, and I was still feeling these side effects, and so I decided I was going to kill myself and go back to heaven, so because I was, you know, saved. And I took 3 bottles of sleeping pills and a 1/5 of gin, and I decided that I was going to go back to heaven. And then this is the near death that a lot of people want to hear about, because it was a negative one. And I basically was in Alaska at the time, and I went over into where a bird sanctuary was outside of Anchorage, Alaska. And I parked on the side of the road where a pullout was, and I took the pills and the alcohol. And all of a sudden, next thing I know, there was a flash of light, and I'm out in the middle of the bird sanctuary up to my waist, looking up at the sky, which when I started doing this was blue sky, horizon, horizon. Now there was clouds that looked stormy across the whole sky. And I couldn't hear, but like if you put your hands over your ears, I couldn't hear anything near me. I could only hear what was actually right next to me. I couldn't hear anything farther away from where I was. And I was having trouble with my balance, and I looked down and saw that I was up to my waist in water, and I was trying to figure out where I was at. And I looked down, and I saw my feet were in mud, and I looked around to see if there was any footprints to see how I had gotten out there, and there were none. So I'm in the mud out in this marshy area, quite a few ways, like a few hundred yards away from my car, because I turned around and I could see my car, but it looked like somebody was sitting in it. And I assumed that was me, and I had already left my body, and now I'm a spirit, and I'm in the area of reality that's halfway between ours and the next one. So as I'm standing there, I finally figure out where I'm at, and I was remembering what I was doing, and I started taking some steps to get back to the car, and there was another flash of light, and I'm on the road at this time, and I'm walking, and I'm in mid-thought, wondering why my legs are not working very well. And again, the sky is cloudy and stormy. And I look down the road, and there's a few hundred yards down is like a fog across the road, and I can't see very far. And then I look behind me, and the same thing behind me, and there's no cars on the road. It's very strange. It's a Friday night, and this is the main thoroughfare to get to Seward, which is a fishing destination. So it's like usually just nonstop traffic on a Friday, and there's no cars. And I'm walking, I'm looking down, and I start remembering what I was doing, because my pants are wet, and I'm trying to figure out how my pants got wet. And a car pulls up next to me, real slow, and it's a New York City cab, and it's all beat up and rusty. And the funny thing about this part of the story is later on, there's a movie called Percy Jones, I forget the whole name of the movie, but in it there's a New York cab, and they said this is a transportation to hell. When I saw that movie, I was like shocked, because I'm like, I had to keep rewinding it to go to that part, because I was like, that's exactly the kind of car that picked me up. And that there was a guy that was driving it that was very distorted, greasy, bloated body. And he had his eyes were crazy, where they were looking two different directions. And he rolled the window down and asked me if I needed a ride in a real gruff voice. And I didn't even answer him. I just went and got in the back. And I couldn't see between the partition and the driver was all like smeared and the windows were smeared. And I thought, I just need a rest. You know, I need to close my eyes. So I leaned my head back and I closed my eyes and there was another flash of light and I'm in free fall in it, going into this pit and just screaming my lungs out as I'm falling. And it's just, it seemed like it was never going to end. And I kept thinking the whole time when I hit the bottom, I'm going to die. And the funny thing also about the cab was I did some research and found out that they have these people that basically were not bad per se. They just didn't believe in God. And their job was to go around and collect souls on earth. And it used to be wagons and horse driven buggies. And now it's vehicles that are dilapidated and that's their job as part of their punishment. And so I'm in this free fall, and when I get to a certain point in the free fall, it's like I come out into this giant cavern underground. That means it's massive. And when I come out, I'm literally tore apart into seven pieces, and I'm scattered across this vast area. And in this area, I'm literally living two of me in the past, two in the future, two in the present, and one other one I'll talk about a little later. But there's seven of me, and I can comprehend what's going on, be seven of me simultaneously at the same time. And I'm in this area where the ground is like a clay golf or a tennis court, and it's very hot. The ground's hot, and if you touched it, you would leave clay on your hand, the markings of clay. And there was steam coming up out of the ground, and there was pillars of steam around me that were about 12 feet tall, so I couldn't see very far. There were like walls of steam. But I could look, I was constantly looking up, I knew that was the way out. And so I was looking for a way out of this place. And in between that, I would be attacked by demons masquerading as people I had met throughout my life. And they would, like I said, two in the past, I would be reliving experiences that I had with other people where I'd caused them emotional pain and I would feel their pain. And what they were thinking at the time of that experience. And then current at that time were the effects of my death and how I killed myself and how that affected my family and then the future as a result of my death, how that affected people I knew. And it was very, very disturbing. If I think about these things too long, I'll start crying. So I'm living these things, and there's a progression of time while I'm here, like 3 days. It got darker at night, and then it never got like daylight, but I could tell there was a progression of time. And at the end of the third day, I was exposed to the seventh living experience of me. And that was where I was in this vortex of steam, and a light was shining down on me. And I was on my hands and knees and on my face, weeping, praying for Jesus to save me. And I was doing that the whole time, these three days went by. And on the third day, Jesus came down and grabbed me by the neck, like he would grab a puppy dog. And he started to slowly lift me out of this pit. And as he did, he showed me eternity in hell. And it's that's still the most disturbing thing that I could think about, that of the whole experience, because we have no context to understand what eternity is. And I was shown what it was, and how if I were to continue doing what I'm doing with my life, then this is what would happen to me. And he slowly lifted me up out of the pit, and I went through a void of complete nothingness, where it was just blacker than anything you've ever experienced or thought of, and no sound, nothing, this huge void. I mean, it's beyond comprehension, the size of this void between where I was and where we are. And then I came through this area where I could see all of creation. It was like a wall that reached as far as I could see, up, down, and sideways. And it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And then I went into creation, loaded into it like a speck, and then I came up into my body, which I was laying on a bed at that time, which I don't even know how I got there, and they don't know how I got there. And I was like 15, 20 miles away from where I had attempted suicide. And I was being screamed at as I came into my body by a roommate at that time. And because he was mad because he found a suicide note, and they've been looking for me, you know, all night. And they left, and because they realized where I was, so they left. And I got up because I needed to go to the bathroom, and my muscle, all my motor functions were not working very well at this point, because alcohol and sleeping pills. So I kind of walked to the bathroom holding the walls, and things weren't working right. So I finally got to the bathroom, and I'm sitting there, and I notice I'm in the house by myself, and I notice that there's like smoke coming out of the walls, and I'm thinking the house is on fire. So I call the fire department, and they come, and I'm there. They look around the house and they go, "We don't see anything." And I realize that I go, "Can't you see the smoke coming out of the walls?" And I realize that I'm the only one who can see this. So I said, "Oh, I must have been smoking and left a cigarette burning. I'm sorry." So they left because they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm halfway between hell and heaven there for a few months, where I could see rats chewing through the floor trying to get to me. And I basically was scared straight at that point. And I haven't had a drop of alcohol or a drug since then. And that's been since it's been like 30, 34, 35 years, something like that now. And I have had a lot happen since then. A lot of, like, God talks to me now. He's constantly giving me direction about where to go, what to do. I was a computer consultant for years, where I got into hacking, where I could go into, I was doing things with, you know, going into government computers. I wasn't doing anything malicious, just it was like a challenge to me to see if I could do it, and I did. And got out and thought no one found out about that, but I found out a few years ago that they actually knew about it. Somebody knew about it. So I was put on a list. And also I have this gift with electronics, and also I got out of the computer industry, and did only private things. Excuse me just for a second. I need to cover the sunlight here. I don't want to block the light. Okay. So I started getting into some other aspects of programming, which was human programming. And God downloaded this information to me one day. I'm sitting in the kitchen with my wife, and we're talking about something, and all of a sudden this massive download of information came into my mind, and it was about how the mind works. And I actually developed I created International Suicide Prevention, an organization, since I think that was in 2006, I started that. And I was literally, people could call and they would say, I'm suicidal. And I would literally disengage the desire to commit suicide within 5 minutes. And that was a permanent fix. And it was just by having them do a few things through my instruction mentally, and they would be able to turn off the survival instinct when it was involving a past memory that was causing them to experience depression or anxiety or suicidal thoughts. And I also was able to treat people that have PTSD, and that cured them of the symptoms in 20 minutes. And these are all single application mental health cures, basically. And it's not anything, I'm not like laying hands on anybody, because people have been calling me from around the world since then. And I'm able to do the work over the phone or through Zoom. So I've treated senator sons, a congressman's son, people, high-ranking Pentagon officials, family members. I've been hooded and flown to places and treated people that are famous. And I always keep people's confidentiality, because I don't want anyone being traumatized by somebody saying you were suicidal, because it's very confidential and personal to them. And I would never divulge somebody's perceived disability or lack of social interaction with other people because of their temporary problem they're having. So the stigma of having depression, anxiety, or suicidal thoughts, or PTSD is so great in our society that I would never want anyone to experience that. So I treat people very anonymously, and I don't charge anybody. So I also created an app where the mind's mechanical. So I was shown this, the mind is completely mechanical. So there's an app that I created for either anxiety or depression or suicide and or suicidal thoughts. And the app takes 10 minutes and you go through the process, and it takes away the desire to want to commit suicide or have depression or have anxiety. And it's all about forgiveness. It's God showed me that the Lord's Prayer, your peace of mind relies upon you being able to forgive yourself or others for what's happened or what you've done to others. And if you don't know how to do that, then there's a problem. So I was shown how to help people get past these temporary problems they're having, because they are temporary. And it doesn't require medication or long-term treatments. It's single application. Also, God God had me write this book. That's how I got on the show. I refused to do it. And he's like, you're going to do this. So I started doing it, and I would write enough for one day. And I would, until I did that, I wasn't allowed to leave the house. Like the car wouldn't start, or I'd spill something on myself and there would be nothing clean to wear. It would be just weird stuff that happened. And then I'd sit down and write, and then he'd go, okay, you can go do what you got to do. And I wrote the book. I had the worst publisher in the world, and the book got put on, I don't even know how it happened. God had his hand in it, because I got put on Good Morning America. The book is called My Last Breath. I redid it recently because it's been out of publishing for a long time, and like a decade at least. So I redid the book. I put it in a digital format so you can get it through Barnes & Noble or Kindle or whatever the digital formats are. It's available, My Last Breath. And I was on Coast to Coast, Beyond and Back. I Survived Beyond and Back. I mean, all these shows and everything. And I don't even know how I got on those things, because I'm not out publicly promoting myself. I just got put on them. And I do it mainly so people have hope. I used to be in the belief that if you killed yourself, you're going to hell. And I was involved in a study at the University of Northern Texas, and they had all these people come in for years and years, and they did this study on people who had killed themselves or committed suicide and had a negative NDE. And the results of that study were that 50% had good NDEs and 50% had bad NDEs. So I'm from Las Vegas. So if 50% bet is not good, that's not a good bet. You don't want to bet eternity on 50-50. So I no longer believe that suicide's a not a forgivable sin. So I do realize that, you know, that life can be hard, but now I know how to help people that are suicidal, and it's quite a gift. But I'm in direct conflict with organized religion, because God gave me this gift, but they see it as something that's against the church, because I'm dabbling in forgiveness. But people, I don't go out and promote what I do, and I'm not charging people. And people come to me and I tell them, if you're not willing to do this, it's not going to work. You have to be willing, and it's a choice. It's not my place to be playing God. This is just, I was showing this information, and it's a free gift to people. If you want it, you get it. If you don't want it, then keep doing what you're doing. And if you want to be medicated, be medicated. That's a choice. And I'm here to help people anytime they reach out to me. Or they can do it on the app. I get notifications every time somebody does the app and it's successful. That particular app is called New Recall. That's a trademarked system that I put down. I put a lot of work into that because God showed it to me. It took me years to be able to actually put it into, to quantify it in human terms. But I did, and I trademarked it, and it's copywritten so that it's not misused or used incorrectly, or people are charged for it. It's not for that purpose. It's to help people. I'm very grateful that God gave me that gift, because I was told that I had a lot of work to do and that I couldn't do it if I was drinking and drugging. I attempted suicide when I was 25, and now I'm 61. So It's been a couple of years, and I've been making it my mission to help people, and I do that anonymously, and I'm very grateful that I am able to help people. There are other side effects that happen as a result of the NDE, and I trust me, don't try to have an NDE so you can have side effects, because dying is not fun. when you're dead, it's great, but when you're dying, that is probably the worst part, you know, to take your last breath. And my book is called My Last Breath, and it's by Matthew D. Duvall, and you can look that up on the internet and go to Barnes and Noble or wherever if you want to download that that book. And that money all goes into the nonprofit International Suicide Prevention to keep the phones and the internet going and all that, because that is, I've created that to be autonomous. And so people don't even need to talk to me. They can get treatment without even talking to me. But PTSD right now, you have to talk to me. And because I'm working on an app that's going to be able to basically debrief people after they've experienced multiple traumas. And that will be a great benefit to humanity when that's done. But for now, if you want to have any questions, it'd be a good time to have that. Organizer here for Utah.
Okay, sure. Let's set that up. If you have a question, you can either come up, I believe, and Matthew can hear your question, or we can repeat it. Either way, yes. Okay, Matthew, please tell us more about Jesus.
He's real, and he's close by everybody. And I'm very grateful to be able to tell people that he's real. He's not a mythical figure. He is real, and he loves you. And there's nothing more important to him than your well-being. And there's nothing that I can say that's more beautiful than he is. Like I said, when I saw him, I knew who he was. There was no introduction. I knew that it was Jesus Christ. And like I said, to be in his presence and being taken away from him, I've never felt that kind of anger before, because all I wanted was more, to be around him more. And we can't experience the feeling that I had when I was in his presence, while you're there and you're in the presence of God, there's the context of being separated from evil. We don't have that here. So I'm looking forward to being able to see him again. And I pray that everybody who's listening gets to hear and see him on the good side. And he, like I said, I've never experienced anything as good as him. And our brains are basically two hemispheres, and one is storing the experiences of our good, and one's experiencing the bad. And when we pass over, we're going to take one or the other. So the first time I took the good experiences, and I went into the white light. The second time I took the bad experiences, I went into the darkness. So I hope that you all come to terms with the things that have happened and what you've done, and just forgive yourself and other people, and move on with your life and experience the gift of life. And if you could be more specific about Jesus, if you want to know, all I know is that he's real. And I'm grateful I had the opportunity to actually meet him. He's still talking to me. And he tells me about things that are going to happen. And I can see things that are going to happen to people. And I still am able to feel what's going on with people. It's that empathy, empath part of me is still very active, even now more so than when I was younger. So that part of the side effects are, I'm actually grateful for that now, where I'm able to help people and I can ask them what's going on without them even having to tell me what's going on.
Okay. This is fascinating and very important. So what's the name of your app exactly? And how do people download it?
Well, the app is all online, and it's through supportisp.org. That's support spelled out, and I is Ignea, Sam, Paul, all one word, supportisp.org. And it says self-help. And when you hit self-help, it's either teens or it's for first responders, but anyone can do them. I created them for people who are most likely to experience trauma. Trauma is anything that's between on a scale from 1 to 10, a 7 to 10 is considered a trauma that's going to create a problem in your life, depression or anxiety. So if that's happened, those things get stuck in your consciousness, and they're perceived by your consciousness, a program that's your survival instinct, and you will start to see yourself as a threat. And that's how you override your survival instinct and are able to kill yourself, because then you're not trying to kill yourself, you're trying to kill the actual trauma. So the actual there's three separate, I call them treatments, but one's for treating say you have a phobia and it's triggered by something like a spider, but you don't remember how that happened. There's an app for that online, and it's in the International Suicide Prevention website. There's a booklet, it's a free booklet you could download called in the booklet, there's actually a treatment you do yourself. And the other one is four phase, and that's the one on the website that's self-help for anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts. And then there's the there's another one for PTSD. So the PTSD, the four phase is for a single trauma, like you got raped or you were yelled at as a kid, or you got slapped by somebody, or you saw something happen that was traumatic. That four phase will take care of that one singular treatment, trauma. Traumas are, we store memories in 15-minute segments. So a trauma is stored in a 15-minute segment. PTSD, you're going to be experiencing anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts because you've experienced multiple traumas throughout your life. And that's a treatment that I have to do through a Zoom with you. It takes 15, 20 minutes to do. It's a single application. Never see me again. Once you get the validator that you took care of it, you're done. So, but four phases done through the website, and the booklet's in, I don't even know how many languages the booklet's in. So if you, International Suicide Prevention, supportisp.org, you can go on there. There's a booklet. If you look further into the website, you'll see the booklet, and you can download the booklet if you want to. But four phases is actually an application on the website, and it takes 10 minutes to do, and it treats single traumas, 10-minute traumas, and they're for depression or anxiety and or suicidal thoughts. But if you have both anxiety and depression, you have PTSD, and you need to call me, and I'll walk you through a very simple procedure that I can do with anybody around the world. So it's not a big deal to me. I do it all the time. It's a very easy procedure to do, and it's painless.
That's so good. Next question. Somebody in our local audience makes the observation that many people with NDEs see God based on their religious or cultural upbringing. And I would throw in here that I know a whole bunch of people for whom that is not the case, but how would you respond to those kinds of experiences?
That's a false belief. Not to say anything against what somebody believes, I'm just saying from my experience in talking with other NDEers, I know people that were atheists and agnostic, and they just had no desire, and they met Jesus. It's like, this is Jesus, and they knew it was Jesus, and they completely changed their lives. I mean, in a way that would be supernatural for them to do. So it's like, you know, I was scared straight. I had $1,000 a week cocaine habit at the time when I just couldn't do it anymore. I just didn't have the energy or the willpower to keep living like that anymore. And to stop all the drinking and drugs immediately when I came back, that's an act of God at that point. There's no other explanation for that. And Jesus, I wasn't expecting to see Jesus. I drowned. You know, all I was thinking, I'm going to drown. You know, I wasn't thinking, oh, I get to meet Jesus now. It wasn't like that. It was a complete shock to me to be able to come face to face with the Creator.
So Matthew, you're getting a lot of questions here. So try to be succinct.
Okay.
A lot of people want to know things. People want to know how they can get in touch with you. Can we put that on the website, or?
Yeah, if they go on International Suicide website, there's an email there. All the email goes straight to me. So if they want to email me, they can. Just be patient with me, because I'm doing a lot of things right now with working with AI and creating apps and things. So just be patient with me. And I work probably, I'm 61, but I probably work 17 hours a day. I mean, I'm not slowing down. I'm actually working harder now than I ever have. So go on the website, just email. There's an email down at the bottom. And also, New Recall is the trademark. So that's NU-RECALL.com. New Recall is the actual trademarked zero suicide prevention system that I trademarked. So, and that came from God. I'm not smart enough to come up with something like that. So that was definitely a gift to humanity, and I'm working to make sure that everybody gets to experience the joy and pleasure of this world without living in your past or fear of the future.
Well, okay, that's great. Somebody asks, what's the best method for those who are addicted to drugs, or any addiction for that matter?
If you're addicted to drugs, I recommend that you start going to either Narcotics Anonymous or to AA. And these are actually God-based programs that they reprogram you, and they give you the support you need on a daily basis to have the to be able to get off the physical addiction and the mental obsession. So you need help from others and God to be able to get off of these things. And these are free programs that don't cost anything. And they're in every city across the United States and around the world. So AA and Narcotics Anonymous.
And the question, I think you've described this already, but what does your app do for people with depression?
Okay, so again, memories are stored in 15-minute segments. So as you stretch out your life, you know, from beginning to end, there's traumatic experiences that happen. So anything over a 7, between 1 to 10, is going to be traumatic. So if when you're having depression or anxiety, the thing you need to ask yourself is, how long have I had this depression? And you can get to the actual inception point. You say, I've had this since I was 16, and you're 99. You do the app on that experience when you were 16, that memory, that 15-minute segment, and it will change the hierarchy of that memory to take you to, it'll take that memory out of your consciousness and put it in your subconsciousness. And at that point, you won't be triggered to have depression any longer. It literally will remove the trigger that causes and the memory of the depression. You won't even have afterwards, within 24 hours, you won't even have a memory of how bad your depression was. That's where I have a problem, because no one's grateful to me for not having depression anymore, because they don't even remember having it.
Okay. And I guess people want to, You should have told us that you see things that are going to happen. There's always going to be questions. So could you tell anything about what you know about what's going to be happening?
About, you know, like I said, it doesn't work exactly like that, because I get shown things that are going to happen, but I'm not like a psychic where you go sit down and I rub a crystal ball or anything like that. I'm constantly aware of things that are going to happen, and my life is extremely guided at this point, where I'm told what to do, when to do, and I know nothing happens by accident any longer. Everything happens for a reason. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. There's a reason for you to be here. I know that for a fact. And I know that most NDEers are of the same opinion. Once they come back, they know we're not here by accident. Every individual is here for a purpose, and we need to seek out what our purpose is. You all have gifts, and you need to acknowledge those gifts and actually do something about those gifts to help other people. I do see that there's going to be good and bad things happening. There's just no getting around it, but you don't need to be afraid of it. You just need to trust God that you're going to be fine and you're going to get through it. I see things on a greater scale than just individual. I don't focus on individuals and what's going on in their lives. I have people ask me, but I just tell them that where God directs me to direct them, I don't, it's all a choice. If you want to be living a bad life, that's your choice. If you want to live a good life, that's your choice. It's choice. We're the only creatures on this planet that have a choice about what we do. We don't live by instinct. We live by choice. I choose to live by what God wants me to do today. So, because it is the easier, softer path. Trust me on that.
We have time for maybe one or two more questions. One from the internet is, do you have any special tips or approaches if someone who's suicidal or who has drug or alcohol problems does not believe in God? Are there any ways that you would suggest to try to help them?
Well, for me, like I had to hit a bottom, and you as an individual, if you know somebody who's having a drug and alcohol problem, the thing that will definitely change them, you know, because I'm huge quantum physics. I'm massively into quantum physics, and I don't know if you know what quantum physics are, but it's the smallest amount of effort to get a huge result. And there's one thing you can do that will create a result that is called prayer. Because it's something you really just put a little bit of effort into, and you're going to get a massive result from it. You get people together to pray for somebody that's having a problem, they're going to come to a point where they can't do it anymore. And then they will ask for help. And at that point, you need to get them. AA is, it is God-based, but it's also for agnostic and people who don't believe in God. That they're just looking for you to seek something that's more powerful than you are. It could be a cop, it could be a doorknob, whatever you want, but eventually it will lead you in the right path. But I do recommend that you take somebody to AA or Narcotics Anonymous. If they're willing to go with you, that gives them an idea that there are people that were hopelessly addicted to drugs and alcohol, and they found another way, and it's a better way.
This has been fascinating. Thank you very much, Matthew. It's My Last Breath, and you say it's available on Barnes & Noble?
Yes, it's on Barnes & Noble. It's on Apple. It's actually an Apple, too. The Apple bookstore, so you can download it that way. The reason I did that was because the old copies of my book, they're selling for like $200 a piece. So I'm like, I don't, that's ridiculous. So I redid the book and put it in a digital format. So it has some of the suicide prevention stuff in it too. And you can download it, look at it at your leisure on your phone, and it's only $10. So it's not a, and that money goes to International Suicide Prevention to keep the phones and the internet access on. I support International Suicide Prevention more. I've kept that going. That organization, I pay for it to keep going. The bills are $500 a month, and I pay 80% of that every month just to keep it going, because it's needed, because it's not drug induced help. It's not some kind of therapy you got to go to the rest of your life. It helps people, and there's no staff, and it does what it says it's doing. So I keep it going. That's supportisp.org.
Well, thank you very much. And any burning questions?
Are you looking into the universe? Because it looks like you're looking into the galaxy there. Any burning
questions? They were just asking about a second printing of your book, but I looked on Amazon. I couldn't find the electronic version. I was going to
It should be there. It's mylastbreath.com. If you go on mylastbreath.com or Barnes & Noble or the Apple bookstore, it'll be there. So
okay, that's
My
great.
Last Breath. Yeah. And you got to say by Matthew DeVell. So otherwise there's a lot of My Last Breaths that came out since then. So you have to get the correct one. And it does say on the jacket, it'll say ABC George Nori on Coast to Coast and Beyond the Back. It says that on the cover of the book, so you know you got the right one. And it is a reprint. I did redo some of the things in the book because I took out that you're going to go to hell if you die by suicide. So I redid that part because I no longer believe that. By new information I've received, I no longer believe that. So
thank you very much. This has been very helpful and informative. And I don't know, let's maybe give him a hand. Give yourself a hand. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.